Welcome to the Home Church Podcast. My name's Kenny, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Home Church, and we gather in Maiden, North Carolina. We're so glad you tuned in to today's episode, and we hope that this episode will help encourage you and inspire you as you continue to follow Jesus step by step. We're glad that you're here. Good to see you, everybody. My name's Kenny. I have the honor of serving as one of the pastors here at Home Church. We're glad that you're here today. Before I jump into the message here, I just want to take a quick second and just remind you, we have so many folks who are visiting today. We're so glad that you're here and you decided to spend your Sunday morning with us. But as a church, we actually got a chance to celebrate 5 years as a gathered body of believers in November, and it was a really great time. And then just this past week, we got a chance to celebrate on Friday night with our volunteers, and I was able to share with them a little bit of just some reminders of things that we've seen and that we've walked through. And I just want to just take a second right here before I get into the word to remind you that every year, at the end of the year, we've been talking about this, but at the end of the year, we provide an opportunity to bring a year-end offering. Now, as a church, one of the things that we believe is around the idea of generosity. We believe the scriptures are clear from the Old Testament to the New Testament that the idea of generosity, giving back to God through his church, is a principle that we see over and over and over again. And so our church is only able to survive by the generosity of people who believe in what God's doing in and through this house on a regular basis. But what we've shared with you at our birthday is that we feel like God's calling us into some things next year that are going to go above and beyond what we might have set aside in our operating budget. And so what we've asked of you is, would you consider, would you pray about, would you go to God and ask him what he would put on your heart to give back to Home Church as a birthday offering here at Christmas? And so next Sunday, you're going to get the opportunity. Some of you have already given online. We're super grateful for that. But we also wanted to provide you an opportunity in person to be able to bring a gift to the altar. So next Sunday, at the end of our Christmas gathering, if you and your family would like to bring a gift at the end of the gathering, you will be able to do that. But we set a goal of $40,000. And just real quickly, the three things that we're trying to chase after that we want to steward those dollars toward, first of all, is some new outreach opportunities that we've got in front of us for next year. There's some things that we feel like God's called us to do. There's some neighborhoods that we want to directly go after to try to reach into. There's an event that happens here at this school next October where Maiden and Bandies will play a football game together. We want to throw a tailgate party to be able to reach people in our communities. So many of them show up. They'll show up for something like that. Man, what a great place to try to connect to them. The second thing that we want to do is we know that in our culture and in our economy, there are many needs. We hear about them all the time, both in our church and outside of our church. But we want to create a benevolence fund that if there are needs that come about in our church and even outside, that we have the ability to just go and meet those needs. And so our heart is that we want to be generous back to others who have needs, and whether that be financial, maybe paying a light bill, maybe a meal, whatever that ends up looking like, fixing a car, who knows? We want to be ready to be the church to love people in that way, because we just see some of the writing on the wall in the way of the economy. We want to be ready to respond to the needs in the house. But also, the third thing is that many of you know this, but Home Church, we own about 9.5 acres of land just right down the road, and our hope and our dream and our belief is that God's going to allow us the ability to build on that thing here soon. And there's some due diligence things that we need to be able to fund to be able to kind of take some steps towards that, and a few thousand dollars of that $40,000 would give us the ability to go do some of those things in the first part of the year. And so, listen, look, Home Church has been an incredible gift to me and my family. We've been here since the beginning. I look around, there are many of you that have been here since the beginning. And then there are others of you that have come along the way. We did a fun thing the other night at our volunteer Christmas party where I asked people, hey, when was it that you became a part of this church? And it was really cool, man. We saw so many people that even just this year have become a part of this house, which is so encouraging. But here's what we're simply asking. That if you believe Home Church has been a blessing to you and your family, would you ask God what he might put on your heart? Because that's all we're asking for. that whatever God would put on your heart, that you might be able and willing to bring a gift back as a birthday gift, to see this continue to go further. And the thing that you've experienced, whether it's from day one, guess what? Somebody gave that we might even make it to day one. We raised $60,000 in 40 days to make Home Church get going. And so whether you've been here from day one, or maybe today's your very first time walking in the door, the truth is that by people's generosity to serve God in his kingdom through his house, every single one of us are in this room right now together because of that. And here's what we believe, that there are gonna be more seats filled and more people's lives are gonna be impacted because we're gonna have the ability to go and to do more with your gift. One of the things I always love to just remind you, because this is my heart as one of your shepherds, is that when we say an offering, here's what that means. It means it's above and beyond what you might normally give, right? So what does not really help our church move forward is that you say, okay, well, I'll take what I normally give and just give it to this. That's not what we're asking. We're asking that you would be faithful to God to give what you normally give and ask him what you might be able to bring above and beyond that for this Christmas, okay? That's the invitation. So I just wanna say thank you. Some of you have already given, and I know this is man, you're starting the message with this. Look, I haven't had a chance to really talk to you because some of y'all, just be real, some of y'all don't show up till 5 minutes into the service most Sundays. So we've already talked about that by the time you get here. But it's really important that you understand that this is a huge step for us next Sunday. And so we want to invite you into it, okay? You'll be able to give online. If that's your preferred method, you can give online. There's a drop-down that says birthday gift. If you bring cash, folks do that. Do us a favor, put it in an envelope, write birthday gift on it, and if you write a check, just write birthday gift in the memo. Does that sound good? Okay. All right, let's get into God's word, because this is the most important thing for us today. And so if you have a copy of God's word, I hope you do, you can either pull that out physically or digitally. Pull your scriptures out to Luke chapter 2. And also if you don't have your physical copy of the scriptures, we always want to encourage you to bring a physical copy of God's word with you. If you don't have one, we have some in the atrium at our Next Steps area. We'd love to gift you one. And but when I say gift, I mean like give. You ain't got to give it back, right? It's not like a pew Bible you got to put back when you're done. Like you can have it, you know. And so if you need one. Also, the Home Church app is uploaded today with the sermon notes, and the scripture is available in the Home Church app as well if you have that. But let me read to you this beautiful story that you've heard many times. I want to just teach this to you today. And then we're going to get a chance to hear from our kids in just a few minutes, okay? So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, here's what the word of God says. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David, and he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. It's the word of the Lord for us today. So I want to give you a little context because most of you, you've heard this before. So the baby that we heard about, this is Jesus, okay? So that there's no mystery. What baby are we talking about? This is baby Jesus, okay? A little context. So Luke actually wrote this gospel. I shared with you last week that gospel is this word from the Hebrew, excuse me, from the Greek, it's euangelion. That's a fun word. Let's say it together, euangelion. Yeah, you guys are getting better at that. Thank you. And euangelion is a Greek word for good news. And what I shared with you last week is that good news is a proclamation of a new king and a new kingdom and its arrival. Now, so when we have the four gospels at the beginning of the New Testament, all of them, it's the gospel according to Matthew, the gospel according to Mark, Luke, John, right? What they are proclaiming is that a new king has arrived and as a kingdom has arrived as well. And their proclamation is always from a perspective that they want to share. They always have an agenda. Anyone who writes a letter has an agenda. They're writing to a specific audience and they're trying to communicate a specific thing. All right. And so Luke, who wrote this, Luke was someone who had encountered Jesus later on, had been actually invited into writing this gospel account. He basically took this idea and he says that he wrote it for this reason, that he wanted to provide an orderly account of what happened. Here's what you got to understand about Luke. Luke was known as Luke the physician, meaning Luke was a doctor. Now, if there are any doctors in the room, I say this lovingly, but doctors are known for being a little very atypical, right? They're very straight line, kind of like to the point, like this is that, that's that, okay? And so that's what Luke provides us in his gospel. He's providing a very orderly account of what happened. And this is important for us because his words mean something. The next thing you need to understand is that Luke is writing to a Gentile audience. He had been commissioned to write this gospel from a Gentile, someone who had learned about Jesus and wanted to do some study and some research and wanted it all put together. And so Luke actually wrote this in a two-part fashion. We have the gospel of Luke and then we have the Acts. Those are actually two things that are tied together that Luke wrote for us. And their purpose was to tell the Gentiles this story, this good news gospel. And it is meant to strengthen their faith. Many people struggle with the idea of faith because most people like to see, and it's sometimes hard to believe without seeing. And Luke took to task to write an orderly account so that people might believe. So the agenda here, you're going to see inside of Luke's gospel, a few things you're going to see come up pretty consistently, is that he likes to show us the humanity of Jesus. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Jesus is fully God, and at the exact same time, especially right here in the scriptures, starting at his birth, Jesus is at the exact same time fully man, fully human. And so this duality, Luke tries to show us in so many ways. And part of that is so that you might be able to have a bit of understanding that this God on high is actually very personal. And the things that you walk through are not so far away for him to understand because he walked the same earth you did. And finally, Luke is also trying to help us understand that this Messiah, this Jesus, is the fulfillment of all the prophecies that the Hebrews had been talking about. But I want to just lean into this really quickly. Last week, I talked to you about the idea of the three wise men, and I told you that for much of your life, you've been lied to, right? We even sang the song, "We three kings who traveled so far," right? That's all a lie. There were more than three kings who showed up at Jesus to bring a gift. And oh, by the way, they showed up like a year and a half later. But there's another lie about the story of Jesus' birth that you've actually been told most of your life, that you've bought into, that the entire culture has believed to be true. And today I want to reframe it for you because I think it's gonna connect to all of us in this season. This series that we're in is called Let Us Adore Him. It's this idea that so many times we get caught up in the lights and the decorations and the gift giving and the busyness of the season, that sometimes we don't slow down enough to remember this incredible gift that Jesus is, that God himself became flesh and dwelt among us, that Emmanuel, God, is with us. And this is the story. And so many times we just become complacent in our adoration. Adoration is above just a like. Remember last week I shared with you, like is what you do for your elementary girlfriend. You slide a note across the table. It's got, "Do you like me? Yes or no?" Right? That's like. Adoration is a higher level of love. It's a higher level of appreciation. And this is what we're looking at in this way. So let me reframe this story. Most of you have been told that Mary and Joseph show up and they can't find a room at the hotel, right? That's what you've been told most of your life. Well, here's what you've got to understand. I shared some of that history with you, And the Bible tells us that we just read that everyone had been brought back to their hometown to do a census. Caesar Augustus had commissioned a census. And the reason that he did that was because this was how he calculated in every single town the amount of taxes that were due from the people. And so this Roman rule was being heavy-handedly put back down yet again, and everyone was coming to their hometown. And Joseph and Mary were showing up. But what we didn't see in the text is that before they got there, a little before that, we learned that Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And so here Joseph is. Joseph is this man, and he's pledged to this woman named Mary, and yet he finds out that she is pregnant and it ain't his. And she tells him a story that this is actually a gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has made me pregnant, and I'm going to carry the Savior. Now, I don't know if you've ever walked into a family situation that's a little awkward, but, you know, if you could just imagine everybody showing up in town, all of your friends, all of your family showing back up, you know, the folks you went to school with, that Aunt Susie who's always got something to say about everything, right? And you show up, and it's crowded, and all of a sudden you show up, and most people think, well, because it was so crowded, there was no room at the inn. And that's bad enough, but let me just tell you that the story is actually way more difficult than that. Because it would be bad enough if Mary showed up with the Savior of the world and there was no place at a hotel. But the real story is that Mary and Joseph showed up at his family's house and everyone was together. And rather than receiving them, which would have been the culture, this would be a culture of hospitality. If anyone who was pregnant showed up in a house, they would be given the prime spot to lay and to be protected and to be taken care of. And yet the story you've been told is that this Mary gave birth to our Savior in a manger in a stable. And as bad as that is, it's actually worse. Because they showed up at Joseph's family's house, and the NIV, which I read to you, said that there was no guest room. Did you catch that? And a lot of people have made that out to be this idea of a hotel, but it's not. When it says guest room, In the Greek, the word is kataluma. I want you to say that word with me. Say kataluma. This is the idea for like a room in your house. Like so me and my family, we got three growing boys. We don't really have a guest room. All the rooms are taken up, right? So if my mama shows up, you know, I'm probably going to the couch. My mama sleeps in my bed, right? But this idea of kataluma, which is what Luke writes here, is the idea of a room in your house for a guest. And because you might be saying, well, Kenny, I mean, I didn't see anywhere in that text that their family rejected them. I want you to understand, this is why I set you up with all the information about Luke, the physician, who would be particular, who would be clear, he would be very specific. Luke would have actually let you know differently if it were they got sent out to the stable. But Luke wrote the word kataluma because he wants you to understand that they were not welcomed in their own family's house. This son of theirs who shows up with this girl that he's betrothed to, that he's engaged to, and they show up and she's pregnant, and no doubt they didn't believe the story. No doubt they were like, they felt there was disgrace, there was dishonor, there were all these things. And in most situations in this culture, there would be two levels to a house. The top level would be where people would live and where they would sleep. And the lower level of the house would be where they would keep animals and where they would keep supplies. And when Mary and Joseph show up with the Savior of the world in her womb, they are rejected even by their own family and said, there's no room here for you. The best we got for you is down there with the animals. How do I know this? Because it's not necessarily right there. Well, this is why reading and studying God's word is important. And so the difference I want you to see is a little later in Luke's gospel, he actually gives us another word, because you might be like, well, I've always heard it was like a hotel. Well, here's how I know the difference, and here's how you can know the difference, is that a little later in Luke's gospel, in chapter 10, he actually writes about this man who had been beaten and burglarized on the side of the road, and there were a few people who passed him by, but there was this one man who was known as the Good Samaritan, who actually picked him up and took him, and he took him to a hotel, and there he paid for his place and told him, the innkeeper, to take care of him and to look after him, and he would come back and to pay his way. And if this right here in the gospel, this part of Jesus' story, if this were an innkeeper, you would think, well, that would be the same word, kataluma, but it's not. A little later in that gospel, this idea of a public roadside inn, the word that Luke writes is pendencione. That's the difference. This would very much be unheard of in this culture. But here's the thing, there are so many of you that I think can actually relate. There's so many of you that you feel like, man, the things that you've done, the mistakes that you've made, the mishaps, even the disappointment that you've been to your family, you've been rejected by them. Many of you can probably connect to this idea. You've made mistakes, you've had mess ups, and maybe even when you came back around your family, they said, no, thank you. We don't want to keep relationship with you. And you felt rejected. And this is the thing that Luke's gospel is trying to connect to you about. Jesus, before he was even born, who would become the savior of the world, he would save us all from our sin. Before he was even born, he was rejected. And that wouldn't change. Because this little boy who would be born on the bottom floor of his house, rejected by his family, would grow up. He is the Son of God. He would live a perfect life, and he would preach that he is the Savior of the world, and he would be rejected by his own people who had been promised for generation after generation that he was on his way. And they turned him away as well. They called him a blasphemer. They called him a liar. And because of his sin, his mistakes, they sentenced him to death on a cross, and there on that cross, for every single one who had rejected him, he paid the price for their sin, yours and mine included. And man, I know many of you guys, especially around the holidays, some of you, it's the best time of the world, and for some of you, it's hard, it's difficult, because there have been times that you've been rejected by family, you go into family situations, and it's weird and awkward because of that tense relationship and those words that were said a long time ago, or the people who have said, I don't really want you here, but then the other mama said, no, you gotta come. And you might carry a sense of rejection. But Jesus, in his humanity, came into the earth rejected. And even still to this day, the truth is that this Savior who on a cross paid the price for your sin and for mine, he was put in a tomb, and 3 days later he raised himself from the dead. That same Holy Spirit that made Mary pregnant with Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that Jesus raised himself from the dead. And he walked the earth for 40 days, he made himself known, and then he ascended into heaven, where right now he sits at the right hand of God the Father, waiting for the moment to return. And yet, we have so much history, we know so much about Caesar Augustus and all of his ways and the Roman rule. We've got so much evidence that Jesus was real and that he is the Son of God and that he is coming back one day. And yet, people all along have rejected him. And there are many of you, the truth is that you've rejected him as well. And yet, even though you know exactly what it feels like to be rejected, this Lord who paid the price for your life, the one who loves you, God said he loved you so much that he loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe would not perish but have everlasting life. Even made these promises of acceptance, to be loved by him, to be cared for him, to be welcomed into his family. And yet many of you, because of the ways you've been rejected, you have a difficult time receiving his love, his grace, his mercy, his kindness that's been on full display and it's on offer for you to receive. Sometimes our brokenness and the things that we walk through make us really difficult to love ourselves because we reject it. We don't feel like we're worthy. And the truth is that to many people, you may not be worthy. But to Jesus, you are so worthy that he left his throne in heaven and he came to the earth and he walked it for 33 years. And then he still paid the price of death that should have been yours because your sin separates you from him. And yet he loved you that much that he paid the price for your sin. The Bible says that if you confess that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says that you would be saved. Meaning, not only would you have your sin forgiven, all those things that you've done wrong, but that you would be welcomed into his family and into his presence forever. I know that it's difficult sometimes, that this story, but if you think about it, this is exactly what makes Jesus so relatable to us. The humanity that he actually had to walk through. And today he wants to connect to you. I want to talk to you really quickly about this idea of adoration, because many of you understand the messiness of what it feels like to be in the barn, so to speak, right? You know what it feels like to be rejected. And especially in this holiday season, you might feel the angst and the worry of being in spaces and places with people who have done that to you. But Jesus sent me today to tell you that this story of his birth, the commercialized version that you've been told, is so sanitized and whitewashed that you miss the raw power that God, again, left heaven and came to earth to live a life that you could not live. This is how much he loves you. And no matter what you've been through or what you've walked through or even where you are today in your journey of faith, maybe this idea of Jesus is a very outer ether, kind of like out there, like God of the universe kind of thing. It's not a very personal, connected relationship for you. Luke wrote his gospel, and I declare to you today that this Jesus is, he is reachable for you. And not because of anything you can do, because you have no power, but because he loves you so much that he made himself accessible to you, relatable to you, connectable to you. And all he simply asks you to do is to receive his love, to receive his grace, to receive his mercy, to receive his forgiveness. I wonder how many of you today, you feel like you're on the outside, but as you hear this real story of Christmas and this power of the Savior who came to earth to pay the price for your sin, I wonder if the Holy Spirit of God is drawing you to himself right now. That I've not said anything super magical, man. I've recounted a story that you've heard many times, but the power of God is tangible right now in your heart because the Holy Spirit, when Jesus is lifted high, he draws all people to himself. And I didn't come to just tell you about a birth of a king. I came to tell you about the reign and the rule of a king who right now sits in heaven. But by one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior. And today I wanted to give you the opportunity to receive not only his acceptance and his love, but to be welcomed into his family. And the Holy Spirit can offer you the gift of faith. All you do is receive it in this moment. Now, there are some of you that this feels too far-fetched. You've done a lot wrong. You messed up a lot. And maybe it wasn't just your family that rejected you. Maybe for some things that you've done, they've had to create some separation. Some of the ways in which you've hurt them. Some of the ways in which you've sinned against God and them. I want you to know that this powerful story of Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, it actually brings hope to this season for you most. Because if you're separated by God because of your sin, this powerful story of him coming to earth declares to you that he loves you so much that he wants to be in relationship with you. And that all of those things that you might have stored up in your mind and in your heart that you've done wrong, he actually offers you forgiveness today in full. That's the power of this little baby Jesus story. his humanity, and his deity. Man and God. And he loves you. So today I offer you the invitation, if you're on the outside of his grace and mercy, you've never received him by faith, you've never confessed him as Lord. Today, the Gospel of Luke declares, and I declare with my mouth, that you are welcome to the table, that the Holy Spirit of God, if he's stirring your heart right now, drawing you unto salvation, he simply invites you to receive it. And again, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, will you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says that you will be saved. And so in just a second, I'm going to offer you that invitation. But at the exact same time, here's what I want to tell you. Next week, we're going to present a really powerful, beautiful portion of this birth story as well. And you might be sitting here right now, and man, your salvation's secure. Man, you woke up this morning, God's been kind to you. You've already spent time with him. You're walking in boldness and in freedom, and I love that. And I just tell you that that beauty that you've got, that you've experienced from this Savior who came to be with us, you owe it to someone else to tell them about it. You owe it to someone else who might be on the outside, who feels like they're unworthy, who feels like they're not welcomed, who feels like the things that they've done, if I've heard this before, man, if I walk into that church, the lightning's gonna strike it and everybody's gonna die. You owe it to tell them how much he's forgiven you. You owe it to tell them how kind he's been to invite you into the fold. You owe it to share your testimony and your story with them of his grace and his mercy and his kindness over your life. You don't have to go and tell them a Bible story. You just tell them what he did in your life. Because here's what I know. There are people that I grew up with and things that I've done across my life. And when I testify to God's goodness, they're like, yo, you? My mama's sitting right there today. We always say, thank God for Pam Mills. We love you, mama. Thank you for being here today. She didn't come to hear me preach. She came to hear my boy sing. But man, like, she witnessed so many things that I did as a kid. And right now, if I were to go back to my hometown and people, this little old boy from Podunk, Clover, South Carolina, there are people who would not believe what God's done in my life and that he's gifted me and given me the ability to stand here and proclaim his gospel. Like, that dude? We know too much. And yet, I testify that I have sinned greatly across every part of my life. And he loved me so much that he died for me, even yet while I was still a sinner. And that truth is yours as well. That even yet while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. He paid a price for you. And that's true of anyone that you're gonna encounter. And so on your way out today, you're gonna get these little invite cards. And when I say little, I mean little. Like, they're really small. In fact, I can barely read it. It doesn't matter. It's a tool for you to be able to create a conversation with someone to tell them about how God welcomed you into his family. And how maybe right now they're sitting on the outside and they might need an invitation into the house. And you get a chance to do that this week. You get a chance to be a part of God's plan, his hands and his feet to invite people in so that he might work in their life and stir their heart like maybe he's doing in your heart right now.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If there's anything that we can do to serve you or come alongside of you in your journey, please reach out. You can reach us at hello@myhomechurch.cc.